Yes. Let's see. I'm headless, setless, but okay. That was the Mark Zaleski Band, Mark in the Park, and they did the debut of that at the Scholars Jazz Club on October 5th. That was celebrating wide-ranging, hard-swinging second album, Days, Months, and Years. And before that, we heard Fair Azella, The Art of the Possible. And I really like that a lot. He's from, well, they recorded this in Buenos Aires. So more about that next week. Stay tuned for Time Travel. Chris Earle is here at the ready. And I'll see you next week. Don't be late.
Transmission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, in.
You're listening to Time Travel with Chris Earle on WMFO, Medford, Massachusetts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt our program of dance music to bring you a special bulletin from the Intercontinental Radio News. At 20 minutes before 8 Central Time, Professor Farrell of the Mount Jennings Observatory, Chicago, Illinois, reports observing several explosions of incandescent gas occurring at regular intervals on the planet Mars. The spectroscope indicates the gas to be hydrogen and moving toward the Earth with enormous velocity. Professor Pearson of the observatory at Princeton confirms Farrell's observation and describes the phenomenon as, quote, like a jet of blue flame shot from a gun, unquote. Ladies and gentlemen, following on the news given in our bulletin a moment ago, the Government Meteorological Bureau has requested the large observatories of the country to keep an astronomical watch on any further disturbances occurring on the planet Mars. Due to the unusual nature of this occurrence, we have arranged an interview with a noted astronomer, Professor Pearson, who will give us his views on this event. We take you now to Princeton, New Jersey.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carl Phillips speaking to you from the observatory at Princeton. Professor, may I begin our questions?
At any time, Mr. Pearson.
Professor, would you please tell our radio audience exactly what you see as you observe the planet Mars through your telescope?
Nothing unusual at the moment, Mr. Phillips. A red disk swimming in a blue sea. Transverse stripes across the disk. Quite distinct now because Mars happens to be at the point nearest the Earth, in opposition, as we call it.
In your opinion, what do these transverse stripes signify, Professor Pearson?
Not canals, I can assure you, Mr. Phillips.
Safe.
Although that's the popular conjecture of those who imagine Mars to be inhabited. From a scientific viewpoint, the stripes are merely the result of atmospheric conditions peculiar to the planet.
Then you're quite convinced, as a scientist, that living intelligence as we know it does not exist on Mars?
I say the chances against it are 1,000 to 1.
And yet, how do you account for these gas eruptions occurring on the surface of the planet at regular intervals?
Phillips, I cannot account for it.
Good afternoon, time travelers. My name is Chris Earle. It is the Halloween show for Time Travel with Chris Earle. A little early this year, but that's all right. I saw Suspiria last night, along with Inferno, two Italian horror movies over there at the Coolidge. It was a wonderful time. Full house. Get out there and see some scary movies, everybody. I hope you like today. I got all kinds of creepy little music for you. And a couple fun things. Halloween's for creepy and fun. You want to make a request? 855-915-WMFO. I'll be playing a few horror trailers and some background music and all kinds of creepy little things. Enjoy the ride.
Take your love lovely daughter and push her in the well. Take your lovely daughter and throw her in the well. Don't speak to me of lovers with a broken heart. You wanna know what will really tear you apart? To the barn to hang myself in shame.
All right, nice and spooky there. There's some violent femmes for you. It's going to be a little story time today, too, because I got some stuff from Walt Disney. It's the Haunted House here on Time Travel.
Walt Disney Productions presents The Haunted House. This is the story of The Haunted House. You can read along with me in your book as we follow the story. When you hear this sound, turn the page. After you finish the story, you can turn the tape cassette over and record your own story. Okay, let's begin. One night, Mickey and Donald were driving down a dark road in the woods. Pluto was riding in the back of the car. Bats flew overhead, owls hooted, and the wind blew through the trees. Suddenly, the old car began to sputter. Then, it rolled to a stop.
What a place to get stuck,
said Donald. Mickey checked the gas tank.
We're out of gas,
he said. They walked down the road looking for help. After a while, they saw a roof above the trees.
Let's look over to that house and ask for some gas,
said Donald. Just as they reached the end of the path, the moon came out from behind a cloud. There stood the spookiest old house Mickey and Donald had ever seen.
That place looks haunted,
said Donald.
I don't believe in haunted houses,
Mickey said.
Come with me.
Mickey and Donald crept up to the house and peeked into a window.
I see a light,
whispered Mickey.
Someone must be home.
Pluto was busy sniffing around. He peeked into another window. In the dark, he saw three shadows. A fat one, a short one, and a tall, skinny one. Pluto began to bark, and the shadows disappeared. Donald came over to see why Pluto was barking. He looked in the window, but he could not see anything. Donald and Pluto went to the door. Finally, Mickey rang the bell. All by itself, the door slowly opened. They tiptoed inside.
Is anyone home?
Called Mickey. No one answered. Then, bang! The door slammed shut. Pluto jumped into Mickey's arms.
It's okay, boy,
said Mickey.
That was just the wind.
A large painting was hanging in the hall.
Look at that man,
cried Donald.
I think he's watching us.
Nonsense,
said Mickey. He walked closer to the painting and poked at the frame. Zoom! The wall spun around and Mickey disappeared.
Where's Mickey?
Donald cried. He and Pluto rushed to the painting. Donald touched the frame. Zoom! The wall spun around again, and Donald and Pluto disappeared. They were in a dark, secret passage. There they found Mickey too scared to speak, for coming toward them were three ghosts, a fat one, a short one, and a tall, skinny one.
Go away!
Go away!
ghosts moaned. Donald and Mickey pushed against the secret door, but it would not open. The ghosts kept gliding closer. They were trapped. Then Pluto saw a small door in the floor. He began to bark.
Pluto has found a way out,
said Mickey. He and Donald quickly opened the door. All three jumped through the opening. Suddenly, they were falling. Down, down, down. Howled Pluto. When they finally reached the bottom, they landed in a large laundry basket. Mickey, Donald, and Pluto peeked out. Creepy spiders were crawling everywhere.
Now, do you believe in haunted houses?
Asked Donald.
We'll never get out of here.
Once more, Pluto came to their rescue. He found an old stairway. Mickey and Donald followed him up the stairs. At the top, there was a heavy door. Mickey and Donald opened the door into a dusty old library. Suddenly, three gigantic bats swooped down from the balcony. Swoosh! Swoosh! They flew all around. Pluto grabbed one of the bats and shook it back and forth. Sawdust flew around him.
Now I know this house isn't haunted,
cried Mickey.
These bats are fakes. They're stuffed with sawdust.
Pluto saw a ghost on the balcony. He barked and barked.
I think someone is trying to scare us away,
said Mickey.
Well, I'm scared,
said Donald.
Let's go.
But before they could go anywhere, a giant skeleton danced into the room. He jiggled his legs. He jiggled his arms.
Get out of this house,
he cried. Pluto hid behind Mickey and Donald. They backed away from the skeleton and bumped into a metal door. The door flew open and they stumbled over a large pile of bags.
These are money bags from the bank,
cried Mickey. The skeleton came in glaring at them. He had taken off his skeleton mask.
This house was not really haunted,
Mickey said.
You're the one who's been playing tricks to scare us away from here. I bet you are a bank robber.
That is right,
said the fat crook. He called his two friends and they came in. They were still wearing their ghost costumes.
What are you going to do?
Asked Mickey.
We're going to dump you in the river,
said the leader.
Then we'll look for a new hideout.
The fat bank robber grabbed Mickey.
No!
The short one grabbed Donald. The tall, skinny one tried to grab Pluto. But Pluto was too fast for him. He ran under his legs, grabbed a money bag, and raced out of the house. The leader called to his skinny partner.
Forget about that dumb dog,
he said.
Help me tie up these two troublemakers.
The robbers tied Mickey and Donald together with a long rope. As soon as they were alone again, Mickey and Donald shouted for help. But who could possibly hear them? The robbers were busy packing up their stolen money. At last, Mickey and Donald stopped shouting. They knew it was hopeless.
I wonder what happened to Pluto,
said Donald.
I hope he got away,
said Mickey. After a long time, the gang came back to get Mickey and Donald. Just as they reached the door, they heard the sound of barking. Pluto raced into the room. The sheriff and his men were close behind. Pluto ran to Mickey and Donald.
Pluto!
Cried Donald.
You came to our rescue!
Pluto was very glad that Mickey and Donald were safe. He kissed them over and over again. The bank robbers tried to run away, but the sheriff's men were too fast for them. They caught the robbers and led them to their car in handcuffs. After Mickey and Donald had been untied, the sheriff scratched Pluto's head.
"You sure have a smart dog," he said. "When he brought me a money bag, I knew he had found the bank robbers. I've been looking all over for that gang."
By the time the sun came up, the old house did not look haunted anymore. The sheriff held up the money bag that Pluto had brought to him.
"The bank has asked me to give you this as a reward for catching the robbers," he said.
"Golly,"
said Mickey.
"Thank you."
The sheriff also gave them some gas so that they could drive home. On the way, they bought a bone for Pluto. He was the one who had caught the robbers, and he deserved a reward.
That was pretty good. Fisher Price, Library of Stories. It's the haunted house. Pluto just gets a bone.
"I like how Mickey talks like this. Hey, golly, thanks. Thanks for the money, everyone. I'm going to buy Pluto a bone, and I'm going to buy myself a brand new Z-28.
That's my Donald Duck. Is it a ghost? Bank robber. I don't know. It's a pretty good Donald Duck. Well, it's Halloween. Or it's soon to be Halloween. Getting in the mood. It's Chris Earle. The show is Time Travel with Chris Earle. Here with you every night. From let's go back to the movie 7. What a great movie that was. I opened up with a little classical piece from the movie 7, and this one's in it too. Time Travel here with you until 7 p.m.
There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm gonna rise right out of the ground. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look way down the river, and what do you think I see? I see a band of angels, and they're coming after me. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, look down yonder, Gabriel. Put your feet on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you blow your trumpet till you hear from me. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. Meet me, Jesus, meet me. Meet me in the middle of the air. And if these wings don't fail me, I will meet you anywhere. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. Well, meet me, mother and father. Meet me down the river road. And mama, you know that I'll be there when I check in, my Lord. Ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down. There ain't no grave can hold my body down.
Told us where we stand, and Flash Gordon was there in silver underwear. Claude Rains was the invisible man. Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a celluloid jam. Then at a deadly pace, it came from outer space, and this is how the message ran. Hot when
when I saw Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes, gave him the runes, and passing them used lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Pal to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a
weighing 98 pounds will get sand in his face when kicked to the ground. And soon in the gym, with a determined chin, the sweat from his pores as he works for his cause will make him glisten and gleam, and with massage and just a little bit of steam, he'll be pink and quite clean. He'll be a strong man. Oh, honey! Nutritious, high protein, and swallow raw eggs. Try to build up his shoulders, his chest, arms, and legs. Such an effort, if he only knew of my plan. In just 7 days, I can make you a man. He'll do press ups and chin ups. Do the smirch, clean and jerk. He thinks dynamic tension must be hard work. Such strenuous living, I just don't understand. When in just 7 days, oh baby, I can make you a man.
I'm not me wanna take Charles Atlas by the hand in just 7 days. Oh, baby, I can make you a man. Just dynamic tension. In just 7 days, I can make you a man.
To have one more drink before I drive home. I'm probably okay. I open the window to stay alert.
Probably okay. I just popped some gum in my mouth.
Step out of the car, please.
I probably made a mistake.
Probably okay isn't okay when it comes to drinking and driving. If you see a warning sign, stop and call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
91.5 WMFO Medford.
You bunch of drunks. Bunch of damn drunks. It's time travel. Here with you until 7 p.m. It's the Godzilla remix of Green Day's Brain Stew.
I'm having trouble trying to sleep. I'm counting shit but running out. As time ticks by, still I try. No rest for cross tops in my mind. On my own, here we go.